Good evening and welcome to this virtual scheduled meeting of Murrindindi Shire Council. We are holding this meeting via Zoom and live streaming to the public in line with the COVID-19 Omnibus Emergency Measures Act 2020, passed by the Victorian Parliament on the 23rd of April 2020. Should technical issues arise at any point, I as Chair will immediately adjourn the meeting. If we cannot restart the meeting within 30 minutes, the meeting will be adjourned to another time and the public will be notified. A recording of this meeting will be made available for public access on our website along with the official minutes of this meeting. Councillors, if you could please raise your hand. As councillors, democratically elected to represent our community as the Murrindindi Shire Council, we are committed to working together in the best interests of the people who live in our municipality, who conduct business here, and those who visit. We would like to acknowledge the Tongaron traditional owners and their ancestors as the traditional owners of the land on which we are meeting virtually and pay our respects to their elders past and present. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to item two, are there any apologies or requests for leave of absence? None noted. Are there any disclosures of interest or conflict of interest? None noted. Would someone like to move that the council confirm the minutes of the 25th of August 2021 scheduled meeting of council? Councillor Lording, thank you. And second, Councillor Geringer. All those in favour? Motion carried. There were no petitions, Ms. Benatzi.
Madam.
And I believe there's no public participation or questions of council tonight?
No questions tonight.
Thank you. Then moving on to item 9.1, the refugee welcome scroll. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Good evening, councillors. I'm pleased to present you with this report that gives you some information about the request for council to sign the refugee welcome zone scroll. You'll know that you had a briefing from Dr. Delzell a little while ago about this scroll and about the ways that it could enhance some of the activities that we currently undertake. We currently have a strong culture of inclusion and the community is welcoming of newcomers of all backgrounds. And so we are recommending this to you this evening as a great proposal for council to undertake. The proposal for the Welcome Zone is sponsored by the Refugee Council of Australia, and that in turn is supported by Rural Australians for Refugees. And there's about 90 of these local groups around rural Australia, and they're dedicated to improving the conditions of asylum seekers and refugees, as well as also being committed to changing government policy on boat arrivals, offshore processing and mandatory detention. Of course, from our perspective, Victoria has a Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities, and this contains the basic rights that promote and protect our values of freedom, respect, equality, and dignity. Local governments must act in ways that support this mantra, and we need to make sure that we're taking human rights into account when we're making decisions. Across the country, in some areas, local governments have played a really strong role in assisting refugee settlement and promoting community harmony. And becoming a part of this initiative is a way for us to support some of the settlement of refugees and to uphold our responsibilities as laid out in the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act. So when we sign this type of declaration, this one specifically, this bears no cost to council, and we're not obligated to undertake any additional activities or events at all. It's an affirmation that our council wants to continue to support the values that are stated within the declaration. It's a way to really acknowledge some of the items that are held within our vision. And two of those that pop out immediately are that we are inclusive, embrace diversity, and we encourage the participation of all, and that we welcome new residents and visitors to enjoy and contribute to our Shire. So in a way, this type of activity could help us step closer to that 10-year vision. In non-COVID times, if we were to sign a scroll like this, there'd be an event, and councillors would get to be present while the scroll's signed. But unfortunately, we'll have to do some fast footwork to get that to happen at the moment. But we'll investigate how we get to do that, and perhaps a time will come in the near future when we can get together to celebrate the signing of a scroll. There's, as I said before, there's a number of different welcome zone councils across Australia. It's 161 of them. And it's a public commitment to welcome refugees, uphold human rights, demonstrate compassion, and enhance the cultural and religious diversity in our community. So I'm happy to recommend to you that Council sign the declaration to become a refugee welcome zone with the Refugee Council of Australia.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there any questions from councillors? No questions noted. Would someone like to move a motion, please? Councillor Carpenter?
As per the officer's recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Someone to second that motion? I think that was Councillor Gallagher. Mental blank. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just think this is a wonderful thing that we can do to show our support for the refugee community, and it's just a wonderful thing to be able to show respect for human rights within our community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Gallagher, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What is a refugee and why should we welcome them? Are we opening the door to people taking our jobs? And what does any of this have to do with council? Australia's Department of Home Affairs distinguishes refugees as people unable or unwilling to return to their home country or to seek the protection of their own country because of a well-founded fear of persecution. That is, a fear of serious harm because of their race, religion, nationality, social group membership, or political opinion. We are incredibly fortunate in Australia that the weapon of choice for our electoral battles is a 3-inch pencil and a ballot paper. No blood is shed. I contrast our freedom with that of a person with a well-founded fear of persecution for their political opinions or ideological associations. A person who leaves their home country because they are seeking better economic opportunities for themselves or their families is not a refugee. There is a well-established orderly program for welcoming economic immigrants to our country. There is a queue and there is a process, but that group of new contributors to Australia are not the subject of our consideration this evening. No, rather we're considering the prospect of declaring welcome people who aren't seeking a better life, but who are rather the prospect of a life. The words refuge and asylum mean protection. There is a process for assessing refugee status, but there is no queue for those seeking asylum, and thus there are no queue jumpers, only people with a well-founded fear. With thanks to the work of so many community-minded organisations, including the Brigidine Asylum Seekers Project and Rural Australians for Refugees, working in collaboration with our region, refugees have been afforded the opportunity to contribute positively in a number of ways, including by filling vacancies in the local agricultural sector and by sharing the story of their experience. Madam Mayor, the motion before us is not to sign up every Murrindindian to a cause, but rather for Council to meet the powerful rhetoric of the first line of our community's vision statement with a public demonstration of our commitment. We are inclusive, embrace diversity, and encourage the participation of all. So I'll support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Gallagher. Does anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Gerringer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just, in essence, I absolutely agree with what Councillor Gallagher just said. I won't be speaking for the motion today. What I would like to voice is the fact that I believe we should make it an everyone welcome zone and not put people into certain areas. I come from a family who sought refuge in Australia, and I'm very proud of what they've done. But I believe by putting people into certain barrels or segregating, we sort of create something that to me isn't part of what we're trying to do. And I would prefer that we were making it an everyone welcome zone and not singling out the refugees. We have a lot of people in our community who need to be supported, and it's for that reason that I won't be supporting it today. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Gerringer. Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Walsh.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It has been said that signing the refugee welcome scroll is just virtue signalling and serves no real purpose. I disagree. Firstly, through past council plans and certainly in the current draft council plan and many other documents, we as a shire have claimed or sought to be recognised as an open, friendly and welcoming community. Linked with that, I believe there is nothing wrong in signalling our virtues, provided they are true virtues that we strive to maintain. As a shire, we benefit from migrants and refugees who have joined our community. From pharmacists to farmers, from restaurateurs to retailers, from drivers to doctors, right across the board, migrants and refugees have made positive contributions to our shire. Signing the declaration also provides us with the opportunity to do good outside the normal array of council services. It assists us in our efforts to project ourselves beyond our shire boundaries so that those looking to join and contribute to a positive, supportive community, regardless of their background, and in this I include or note Councillor Gerringer's comments, so regardless of their background and circumstances, everyone knows that Murrindindi wants to welcome them. Signing the refugee welcome scroll provides us with an opportunity to be and to signal our better selves. I strongly support the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Anyone else wishing to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Lording.
I was a bit surprised that we put the amount of effort and time into making this decision. It basically doesn't do anything for the refugees. What I would have liked to have done is something that would actually help them rather than just platitudes of, yeah, we'd love to have you here, but we don't want to have you here. So I'm definitely going to do something about it and assist these refugees. And for that reason, I'm voting against just doing this bit.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Anyone else wishing to speak for or against? Thank you. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Moving on to item 9.2, the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan 2021-2025. I call Ms. Brown again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Council's aware, we are required under the Public Health and Wellbeing Act to prepare a Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan every 4 years and within 12 months of a council general election. The Act recognises that councils hold a key role in improving the health and wellbeing of people in their municipality, and the plan must have regard to the state health and wellbeing plan in its design, and that ensures a really cohesive approach to improving health outcomes across the state. And it also encourages state and local governments to work together to strengthen the health and wellbeing of communities and people. So the formation of the 21 to 25 Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan has been guided by community, our local partnerships, and state-level influences. And some of the influences that have shaped the themes, the strategies, and the key focus areas of the plan have included shaping our future community engagement that we held in March to April of this year, our 10-year community vision, the draft council plan, the Victorian Public Health and Wellbeing Plan, our health and wellbeing consortium, and also our profile health data that's been built during the course of this year and really reflects the statistical and demographic information of our shire. So the delivery of the plan is reliant on a partnership approach because it holds not only our actions that will help to support great outcomes for our community, but also the ways that our community-based health services can actually create those great outcomes as well. The plan strategies fall under four themes: our connected communities, our active environments, our healthy people, and our strong partnerships. And which within each of these themes fall a number of strategies that address key health and wellbeing issues, including things like community and social connection, mental health and wellbeing, access to healthy foods, physical activity, and access to appropriate and inclusive services. The strategies are really broad, and that allows for the changing priorities of our communities and partner organisations across the 4 years of the plan. And we can imagine that, well, we can hope that in 4 years' time, the COVID reality that we have at the moment that we're tackling might be in a different space and might not be quite so predominant. For each year of the plan, there's a 12-month implementation plan that's formed, and that will have specific outcomes, specific actions that will be outlined, and it'll lay out the way that we'll work together towards completing those things for that period. And at the end of each of that period, there will be a report that comes back to council and outlines how we went and what happened in that space for that year. So I'm really pleased to present this document that's been developed in partnership with our Health and Wellbeing Consortium to you, and I recommend it for adoption this evening.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there any questions from councillors? If there are no questions, would someone like to move a motion? Councillor Lording.
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. And someone to second that, please? Councillor Gerringer. Councillor Lording, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I would. I really like this idea of assisting in public health and a wellbeing plan, and that is badly needed this time. Even I'm feeling a bit rubbish after such a long time with COVID. So anything that's going to assist like this would really help. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Gerringer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wanted to thank all the officers, councillors, and everyone in the community for the amazing amount of work that they've put into this. It was great to get so much feedback from everyone in the community and have it all put into one rather large document, like most of our documents, and come out with this something that's going to be with us for a long time and hopefully help a lot of people in our community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Gerringer. Anyone else wishing to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In development of the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan, officers have worked in partnership with a number of external agencies involved in delivering health-related outcomes in the community. That consortium of agencies will work in collaboration with Council to deliver to the plan. It's particularly heartening, as Councillor Lording said, that there are strategies designed to target mental health, wellbeing, key focus areas, and acknowledging that ongoing impact of COVID-19 on communities. The plan carefully outlines Council's direct involvement in all manner of strategic initiatives and recognises the value of a concerted team approach to targeted consortium-supported advocacy activity.
Thank you, Councillor Gallagher. Anyone else wishing to speak for or against the motion? I'd just like to say a big thank you to the consortium as well for their input into it so far, but more importantly, into the actions going forward. So it's a great document. Having said that, Councillor Lording, would you like to close?
Close, please, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 10.1, the Grants and Contribution Program, the September allocation. Ms. Brown.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is to present you all with the grants and contribution applications for your noting this evening. We had a fairly quiet month. I think the impacts of COVID are certainly showing on the number of applications that we received to the program this month, unfortunately. We did have one application through the community sponsorship stream, and that was from the Alexandra Secondary College for the sponsorship of their 2021 College Ducks student. And it'll support that award for this year. It's the most prestigious award of the college. The sponsorship is really an opportunity to recognise the importance of the achievements of our Shire's youth. That that grant was supported under officer delegation with a grant of $600. In addition, there was an application for a fee reduction from the Yay Primary School for their annual musical, and it's about a reduction in the hall hire fee. They are looking to have all of their 135 students in the school in their musical production this year, and it's involving in particular the grade 6 and grade 5 students. So a really wonderful event that's looking to take place, and fingers crossed around the COVID situation for them. That grant application has been supported under officer delegation with a grant of $1,000. We did receive one grant variation request, and unfortunately for the Lions Club of Marysville and District Incorporated, the Marysville Music Weekend is being postponed until March of next year, and fingers crossed we can have a great event then. This event will have some really fantastic Australian touring acts, as well as the local musicians and emerging performers, which is always great to see as well. The artists have all agreed to the new date, and we're fingers crossed that can take place from the 11th to the 13th of March next year. Again, under delegation, we have supported that variation request. So I present those applications and variations to Council for noting, and the recommendation is held there for you on page 7.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there any questions from councillors? Councillor Walsh.
Ms. Brown, can you just refresh my memory on how much is being deferred for the Lions?
Yes, certainly. That was a 7,000. Sorry, Councillor Walsh. That was a $7,500 grant that was made at the in the April round of the Grants and Contributions Program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right, if there's no further questions, would someone like to move a motion? Councillor Lording?
as per the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Haslam? I noticed your hand up there. Councillor Lording, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I would. I'm really pleased to see where this money is going, to go into the primary school for a musical event. Certainly, you know, the College Ducks, that's great at Alexandra Secondary College. But also that $7,500 is to the Lions Club of Marysville. That's a fairly significant amount of that we are giving them. But really, that's the sort of musical events that we really need here, not some of the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Haslam?
No, thank you.
Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Lording, would you like to close?
Yes, Madam Mayor, please close.
Thank you. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 11.1, approval of the annual financial statements 2020-21. Thank you, Councillor Ms Brown, for your presentations. And I welcome Mr Chesworth.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is to approve in principle the draft audited financial report and performance statements for the 2020-21 financial year. This is prior to their submission to the Victorian Auditor General. So consistent with legislative requirements, the statements have been audited by Council's external auditors and they've been endorsed for Council's approval by Council's Audit and Risk Committee. Subject to Council's in principle endorsement of these statements tonight, the external auditor performs a final check and then the statements, Council's resolution and the auditor's recommended report are forwarded to the Victorian Auditor General for final review. Subject to the Auditor General's review, a final audit report, which incorporates the financial and performance statements, is then issued to Council for inclusion in the Council's annual report for 2020-21. So it is quite a convoluted process, but it then ensures that those audited statements are part of the annual report. Then this annual report is finally forwarded to the Minister for Local Government. The financial and performance statements are attached to the agenda, which contain a record of Council's financial performance for the year. There haven't been any further material adjustments to the financial statements compared to those presented to Council at the August Council meeting. So I don't propose to discuss those financial results in detail again tonight. But a summary of the explanations of the main variances from the adopted budget is contained in your agenda, along with a summary of the key financial ratios for the year. So the recommendation is to for Council to approve in principle the Murrindindi Shire Council financial statements and performance statement for the year ended 30th of June 2021, as attached to this report. Secondly, that Council authorise the Principal Accounting Officer to make minor amendments to the financial statements and performance statement for the year ended 30th of June 2021 to meet the Victorian Auditor General's requirements. And finally, to authorise Councillor Sanders McCauley, Councillor John Walsh and the Chief Executive Officer to certify the financial report and performance statement in its final form after any changes recommended or agreed to by the auditor have been made.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions from councillors? If there are no questions, would someone like to make a motion? Councillor Gerringer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, as per the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Someone to second that motion, please. Councillor Haslam. Councillor Gerringer, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Haslam, would you like to speak for the motion?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say thank you to the officers for all their work. It's, once again, a very long process and procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Haslam. Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? that's the case, then Councillor Gerringer, would you like to close?
Close, please, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to 11.2, the Fraud and Corruption Control Policy. Mr. Chesworth, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek Council's endorsement of the revised Fraud and Corruption Control Policy. The policy is required to be reviewed by the end of this month. The updated policy continues to reinforce Council's zero tolerance towards fraudulent and corrupt behaviour, with the policy structured into the sections of prevention, detection and investigation, which is in accordance with the updated Australian standards for fraud and corruption control. Fortunately, many of the changes to the Australian standards had already been incorporated in Council's policy prior to this review, including clear management responsibilities, external reporting of suspected events of fraud or corruption, specialist fraud and corruption control resourcing, ongoing awareness programs, pressure testing for cyber security, and whistleblower protection. The two specific changes that have been included in the policy are the need to develop an information security management system. Fortunately, Council already has what's called a protective data security plan in place, which actually satisfies this requirement. And secondly, that the policy includes the need to develop a fraud and corruption control system, which replaces the previous fraud and corruption control plan. And the main difference between the two is that the system really requires a stronger focus on risk management and a focus on the prevention of fraud and corruption in the first place. So these requirements around this will be progressively enacted over the next 12 months. It's also noted that the Audit and Risk Advisory Committee has also reviewed and noted the recommended changes to the policy. So the officer's recommendation is to adopt the reviewed fraud and corruption control policy as contained in attachment 11.2.1.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions from councillors? Thank you. Is there someone willing to move a motion, please? Councillor Walsh.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion that Council adopt the reviewed fraud and corruption control policy as contained in the attachment.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Someone to second that motion? Councillor Lording. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Lording, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Walsh, would you like to close?
Close, thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to 11.3, the Procurement Policy, Local Government Act 2020. Mr. Chesworth.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is again to seek Council's endorsement, but this time of the revised procurement policy in accordance with the requirements of the new Local Government Act 2020. The new Act requires Councils to adopt a new procurement policy by the 1st of January 2022, which specifies the principles, processes and procedures applying in respect to the purchase of goods and services by Council. Also, the policy must seek to promote open and fair competition and provide value for money. The previous Local Government Act was quite prescriptive. For example, it set the dollar thresholds for going out to public tender. It also provided a list of exemptions from having to adhere to the procurement process. Under the new Act, these decisions now rest with Council through the development of its new procurement policy. The policy has been written in collaboration with the Hume Regional Procurement Network, with guidance from Local Government Victoria, and it has also taken into consideration Council's current policy and statewide industry best practice under the new Act. Council's existing procurement policy included support for local business and economic outcomes The new policy broadens this focus under a new sustainable procurement section, which also provides for consideration of environmental and social outcomes in the procurement process. The thresholds for going to public tender in the old Act have not been reviewed since 1989 and have remained at 150,000 for goods and services and 200,000 for works since that time. The new policy proposes to increase these thresholds to 300,000 for goods, services and works, which appears to be a consistent level across the sector in policies adopted to date. A list of proposed exemptions from adherence to the procurement process has been included in an attachment to the policy. The policy proposes that in situations where the value of an exemption exceeds $300,000, that is where there's an exemption from going to public tender, this will be reported to Council for noting. But a register of all exemptions will be reported to the Audit and Risk Committee. The officer recommendation is for the policy to be effective from the 1st of November 2021 to provide sufficient time for the necessary internal preparations to occur to enable the effective implementation of the policy. It is also recommended that the policy and its implementation be reviewed in 12 months or by the 31st of October 2022 to evaluate the effectiveness of the policy and to make any necessary adjustments. It's noted also that the Audit and Risk Committee has also reviewed and noted this new policy. So the recommendation is that Council adopts the procurement policy. It's contained in Attachment 11.3.1, effective from the 1st of November 2021, and requests the policy and its implementation be reviewed by the 31st of October 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions from councillors? Councillor Walsh.
Yes, Mr. Chesworth, you noted the change to an across-the-board limit of 300,000, where before the Act made those prescriptions of 150 for, not forgotten, for
goods and services.
Goods and services, and 200,000 for the rest. When one takes into account inflation, it's not just the fact that we're falling in line with every other council. We're virtually maintaining the status quo when we're talking about current dollars. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, it's actually slightly less than if you looked at CPI over that time, it's actually increased even further. So it's slightly under the CPI increase. But it is really maintaining the status quo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Any other questions? Thank you. Would Councillor be willing to move a motion, please? Councillor Walsh.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I move the motion in accordance with the officer recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Someone to second that motion, please? Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just briefly, the fact that we were in a good position already with our procurement policies, that when these new changes came in, it was pleasing to see that the variations were in effect only minor, and just brought the current policy document up to date. So well done to not only the current officers for doing the work to develop this new policy, but obviously well done to previous officers for being up with the game.
Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to extend my thanks to officers for the preparation of the new policy, procurement policy, and in particular for incorporating council support for measures which favour local business tenderers and for taking into consideration the contribution of suppliers who deliver local economic benefit now when determining best value for money. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gallagher. Anyone else wishing to speak for or against the motion? If that's the case, Councillor Haslam.
Sorry, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say thank you. I like to see that we're supporting environmental outcomes because it's essential. I'm really pleased to see consideration is given to the type of product that we use and that will prioritise goods made with recycled materials where the procurement opportunity provides. It's really essential that we look at sustainability We look at the waste management, and that all comes with procurement as well. So well done. I'm very happy to see that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Haslam. Any further questions or any further comments to speak for or against the motion? If that's the case, Councillor Walsh, did you want to close?
Close, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Item 11.4, the delegation to the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Chesworth.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. It is noted that the financial delegation of the Chief Executive Officer has traditionally matched the threshold in the former Local Government Acts for going out to open market via tender. It's been consistent right across the sector, in fact. The purpose of this report is to seek Council's re-adoption of the delegation to the Chief Executive Officer to increase the financial delegation of the CEO to $300,000 to be in line with the threshold for public tender as contained in the recently just adopted procurement policy. This delegation is contained in what's called S5, delegation from Council to the Chief Executive Officer. Whilst the officer recommendation is worded to meet the legal requirements and is therefore quite lengthy, it is in essence seeking Council's endorsement of the revised SF instrument of delegation to acknowledge this change in financial delegation.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Any questions from councillors? If there are no questions, would a councillor wish to move a motion, please? Councillor Walsh.
As per the officer recommendation, Madam Mayor, I have no intention of trying to read it all out tonight.
Fair call, Councillor Walsh. Someone to second that motion, please. Councillor Lording. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak to the motion?
Only to reiterate that fundamentally this is a housekeeping operation to make bring the CEO's delegation into line with the recently passed policy, as we have done in previous versions of the policy, to keep that alignment.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Lording, did you wish to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Okay, thank you. Councillor Walsh, would you like to close?
Close, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you very much. 11.5, the Ordinary Risk Committee confirmation of minutes. Mr. Chesworth.
Yes, the purpose of this report is to present the minutes of the 9th of September 2021 Audit and Risk Committee meeting to Council for noting. I just want to highlight to Council that at item 14.1 of the minutes, the committee endorsed its biannual report for presentation to Council at this meeting. The report is fully contained in these minutes. And so in addition to the recommendation that Council receive and note the minutes of the 9th September 2021 Audit and Risk Committee, as enclosed in attachment 11.5.1, I'd like to add a further recommendation that Council receive and note the biannual report of the Audit and Risk Committee as contained in item 14.1 of these minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions from councillors? Thank you. Would someone like to move a motion, please? Councillor Gerringer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, as per the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Someone willing to second that, please? Councillor Gallagher. Thank you. Councillor Gerringer, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gallagher.
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? If that's the case, Councillor Gerringer, would you like to close?
Close, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. Thank you. And 11.6, the endorsement of the Audit and Risk Committee Chair, Mr. Chesworth.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to formally appoint Mr. Claude Baxter as the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee. The committee consists of three independent external members and two councillors, and in accordance with the Act, the chairperson of the committee must not be a council representative. At the September 9th committee meeting, Mr. Claude Baxter was nominated by the committee for appointment by council as the committee chairperson for the 2021-2022 financial year. Mr. Baxter has served as chairperson for the last two financial years and is able to take the chair for a further year under the committee charter. So the officer recommendation is that council formally appoint Mr. Claude Baxter as chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee for the 2021-2022 financial year.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions from councillors? If there are no questions, the dogs want to make a question. If there are no questions, would someone like to move a motion, please? Councillor Haslam. And someone to second that. Sorry, your motion?
As per the officer's recommendations. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. And someone to second that motion? Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Haslam, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to the motion? You're on mute. I can see that you're saying no. Okay, noted, you've said no. Would anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? If that's the case, Councillor Haslam, would you like to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Close.
I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Motion carried. I believe there are no notices of motion and there's no matters deferred from previous meeting and there's no urgent business. Moving on then to item 15, councillor reports. Councillor Haslam, do you have a report for the month?
Not this month, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Geringer, do you have a report?
No, not this month either. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Lording, do you have a report?
Yes, I'm going to make it fairly quick. It's a long one. My report is intended to give a rolling view to our citizens and interested media of the work that council officers are undertaking in the Shire of Murrindindi. Now, this is going to be tabled, so people that want to actually read all the points need to just go to that. The one thing I do want to say is that our roads are being beaten to pieces by large trucks carrying logs and things like that. Hearing a lot of complaints, especially in the Murrindindi Road area and Snobs Creek area. I noticed that some repairs were done by our staff the other day, about 4 days ago, and it's now cutting up already. So our apologies to everybody for that. At the moment, with it so wet, it's not worthwhile really trying to fix potholes because they just become soft and get chopped up again in the next 5 minutes. So we are a little bit behind in fixing all the roads. As soon as it dries up a little bit, we'll have all the crews out there and we'll get stuck into that. I just want to mention as well that the projects team have one heck of a year. There are over 110 projects to be delivered this financial year. So if you want to see where we are, have a look at this report. Just regarding my emergency management portfolio a bit, excuse me. The business continuity exercise has been completed and there is a survey on NBN and mobile phone coverage in our Shire that's being undertaken on our website and Facebook. You can see details. So I will table this and thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Walsh, do you have a report for this month?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors attended a further discussion and feedback forums during the month to draw feedback from the general public and from businesses on Council's 2021-2025 plan and on the financial plan. It would have been great, firstly, to have been able to meet in person, but moreover, to have more attendees. Yet all sessions resulted in valuable feedback for Council to consider. Participants in the 2021 Murrindindi Youth Leadership Program recently attended their seventh session of a packed personal development program. Tom, a former participant in the program, took a lead role, leveraging the skills he himself had attained from the opportunity. In the spirit of helping to achieve one of the program's aims of fostering intergenerational relationships, Murrindindi Shire councillors made a cameo appearance. Some of the sage advice offered by councillors is relevant to all young people in the community. And that is that you are capable, so value every opportunity you have to extend yourself. Put yourself out there, you know, give. Involvement means connections, friendships, and opportunities. And congratulations for participating. Decisions are made and change is affected by those who turn up and contribute. The council officers who lead this program genuinely care for the participants, and they might never realise the impact that they're having on these future leaders. I do know the passion, commitment, and the growth of the future leaders fuels the determination of the Murrindindi Shire Youth Team. COVID-19 continues to be a challenge, and specifically challenge the wellbeing and stamina of people right across the Shire. Most recently, it's our local tradespeople who have juggled changing policies and health directives. Support is available. As always, for information on obtaining a vaccination or a COVID-19 test, for a list of councils available and contingent services, for relief funding information, and for mental health service support, please visit council website and simply click on the blue bar at the top of the page for a wealth of resources. Telephone inquiries are also welcome on 5772-0333. Occasionally, Madam Mayor, there are people who come into our lives with no warning and no fanfare, and yet they leave an indelible mark. This last week, Alexandra Farewell, Dorothy Jean Dot Jackson, in fitting style with great numbers of people lining Grant Street for Dot's last lap of the town. Others shared their tributes online. All were touched somehow by the impact of Dot in their life. So, Barley Dottie. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A short report. We've had another busy month. The council plan is nearing completion. I feel that the diverse backgrounds of our councillors has contributed to great sharing of ideas and strategies that will help our Shire to move forward and be the best we can. As I hold the planning portfolio, this month I'm going to give a brief snapshot of the planning and building activity for the last financial year, thanks to a comprehensive report from the Development Services Department. In the last financial year, there were 317 applications that were received, and that's an increase of 88 from the previous year. There were 420 building permits issued, up by 21 from the previous year. There are three current VCAT appeals, and two VCAT appeals have been resolved. Notable applications at present include use and development of land for a dwelling in Killingworth in a farm zone, proposed self-storage facility for caravans and boats in Yay in a farm zone, and a tourist development of accommodation units in Thornton in the township zone. These applications have all received multiple objections, and the planning department is working with all concerned parties. Another interesting application is being sought for a planning permit for the use and development of land for the purpose of a brewery, restaurant, retail premises of manufacturing sales and a liquor license for a producer's license at the former Alexandra Dairy Company building. This application is currently being advertised. As a result of the COVID pandemic, people are moving away from metropolitan Melbourne to rural areas. It's becoming more popular to leave the city. It will be interesting to see what increases in planning applications ensue over the current financial year. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. I'll now commence with my Mayor's report. It's wonderful that at least here in Murrindindi, we were able to travel from home and we were able to chat to locals down the street, albeit with plenty of space between us. This last month has been a series of disappointing cancellations of events and forums. A number of primary school invitations to recognise school leaders and present certificates continue to suffer this month with the lockdowns and having to resume schooling from home. I enjoy meeting the children and answering their many questions, as well as recognising their respective school leaders. I'm looking forward to the possibility of conducting those opportunities on Zoom. The draft council plan community consultation has been affected as well, as mentioned by Councillor Gallagher. The consultation period was extended, which allowed people the opportunity to respond via council's online forum, The Loop. And fortunately, we were able to conduct a couple of online consultations to allow for some community and business input. And, you know, thank you to those members of the community and business community who participated in those forums. This last month has demonstrated that regionally we are still vulnerable to the spread of COVID. Luckily, Shepparton is now out of lockdown, but other communities are now locked down. Here in Murrindindi, we have had a number of cases at the southern edge of the Shire. This is a reminder to all that if you have any symptoms at all, no matter how mild, to get tested as soon as possible. I ask people once again to be kind to others, and if someone you know needs assistance, Council's Dindi Link service helps people to connect to services as well as organising practical help and deliveries. So as Councillor Gallagher mentioned, please phone 5772 0333 and speak to one of our friendly team members. Personally, I have been cheered up and inspired by the many random acts of kindness, such as the distribution of spring seeds by a number of community groups and random purchases of coffee to distribute to regular customers to brighten others' days, as well as supporting the businesses. I am always so happy to share these lovely random acts of by thoughtful community members. Last Friday was Citizenship Day, Australian Citizenship Day. Each year on the 17th of September, we celebrate the value and significance of Australian citizenship and the privileges and responsibilities it embodies. To mark the 20th anniversary, I was honoured to conduct Council's first online citizenship ceremony, where two of our community members became Australian citizens. The day was made even more special with Dr. Helen Haynes, Federal Member for Indi, and Cindy McLeish, State Member for Ildin, taking the time to participate in this, our first online ceremony. On Sunday, the 19th of September, the Premier announced the roadmap for easing out of restrictions. One thing seems clear. Each easing of restriction is related to the community achieving vaccination milestones. So please, if you can, please get a jab. Local vaccination statistics as of Monday, the first for Murrindindi, the first dose was 74.7% and second dose 47%. So well done, Murrindindians. Keep up the good work. I have continued to take every opportunity to discuss the ongoing concern that even when regional Victoria isn't in lockdown, regional businesses are still impacted by the metropolitan lockdowns, as our businesses still rely heavily on customers from Melbourne. Particularly now that many of our hospitality businesses are restricted to 10 people inside their venues, it's hardly viable for businesses to continue to stay open. Support packages that are put in place for Melbourne businesses are now being extended to regional Victoria until the end of September. Hang in there, wear your masks, wash your hands, get vaccinated, and use the QR codes. Thank you, and keep safe, everybody. Ms. Bonazzi, would you like to give the CEO a report, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We recently completed the annual distribution of rate notices for the 2021-22 financial year. And notices were sent to Australia Post on the 10th of September. We experienced a short delay this year to issue the notices due to factors outside of our control. And as a consequence, we have extended the first instalment date to the 15th of October. I've also heard anecdotally that some people have not yet received the notices for this year. I suspect that this is an Australia Post delay, which should be resolved within the next few days. We continue to provide support to anyone who's experiencing difficulty making their rate payments, providing they notify us of their situation. In these cases, we can discuss options and arrange a payment plan to best suit individual circumstances. As you might have heard, mandatory vaccinations are now in place for construction workers. And in addition, the Melbourne metropolitan-based construction workers are not able to travel to regional Victoria. This has impacted three of our current construction projects. The King Lake streetscape project, unfortunately, is on hold. However, we are doing daily checks for the traffic management and safety measures. And we understand that the contractor employees who come from Melbourne will have had their first vaccination this week and are able to come to King Lake on Monday to make the site safe, but will not return until the lockdown restrictions ease in regards to construction. In Alexandra, the William Street footpath works were due to start this week, but the contractor is also based in Melbourne, and so this project is delayed. And the unsealed road resheeting program across the Shire also cannot commence next week as originally planned. For other contracted services, we have ceased any non-essential works for the time being until we can establish the vaccination status of our contractors. Contact has begun with contractors to work through the vaccination status. We expect the Greater Melbourne construction lockdown to ease on the 5th of October. And at this stage, it's unclear if there will be any further setbacks to our projects. But from the perspective of council staff, we are still awaiting advice regarding what is and isn't considered construction work for our services. But we have confirmed that any roadworks required under the road management plan are regarded as essential and are therefore exempt from the restrictions. We know that the current restrictions are quite severe for our hospitality sector. The caps on indoor and outdoor patrons are making it difficult for many businesses to open in a financially viable way. And this is causing hardship for them and for their employees. We have endeavoured to be proactive in assisting businesses to access the right channels for the support that is available to them through the state government. We also have rates hardship arrangements for business that can be accessed. So if people feel this would help to take the pressure off, please get in touch with our rates team. Or for assistance to access the government financial support available, ask to speak to our business support team. They can help you navigate this complex system during this stressful time. One way for us as council to help ease the restrictions in a safe way is to continue to advocate for easy access to testing facilities and COVID vaccine hubs. And we also encourage the community to get vaccinated. We've put together a print media local faces campaign that tells our local stories of why people are getting vaccinations. And we have worked together with our health service partners to ensure that they have what is needed to roll out the vaccination program to our community. And we have actively advocated for and enabled this important initiative. So I'm pleased to advise that Goulburn Valley Health's Jabba the Bus will be at the Eildon Community Centre on Tuesday the 28th of September for the first dose, and Tuesday the 9th of November for the second dose, with appointments available between 10:30 and 3 p.m. Both AstraZeneca and Pfizer are available. Council is facilitating the booking of appointments, so please call us on 5720333. Nexus Primary Health is running a pop-up COVID-19 vaccine clinic at the Kinglake Community Centre on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of October between 10 and 3 p.m. And for more information and to make a booking, contact Nexus directly on 1300 773 352. The Alexandra Hospital is also coordinating two pop-up clinics, again in Eildon and also in Marysville, the second week of October. Nexus Primary Health is delivering the program. As the details become available, we will be promoting them through our usual channels. Madam Mayor, as you have noted, Murrindindi Shire has achieved a reasonable vaccination rate, which is great to see, but we still have a way to go. And so if anyone in our community is having difficulty getting to a vaccination centre, please contact us and we will connect you with our D&D Link team. We continue to work hard to make sure that nobody gets left behind. And today I have attended the first meeting of the Goulburn Valley Area of Operations Control Team. The purpose of this new forum is to suppress the spread of coronavirus and manage community consequences in the Goulburn Valley region through a focused, coordinated and collaborative response effort. This control team is preparing for the likely increase in number of infections across our district as the restrictions ease. I have confidence that this forum has the key agencies and the right level of representation to share information and to be well prepared through an integrated planning approach. The team includes representations from several local government councils, Department of Health, Department of Justice and Community Safety, Department of Education, Transport, Victoria Police, Department of Family, Fairness and Housing, as well as Goulburn Valley Health and other practitioners. That'll be it for me. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Benazzi. Moving on to item 17, assemblies of councillors. Would a councillor be willing to move the officer recommendation that council receive and note the records of assembly of councillors for the 23rd of August 2021 to 17th of September 2022? Councillor Lording, and second that. Councillor Geringer, I take it. Thank you. All those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you. And final item on the agenda tonight, the sealing register. Would a councillor be willing to move that the list of items to which the council seal has been affixed be noted? Councillor Walsh, and to someone to second that, please. Councillor Gallagher, all those in favour? Motion carried. Thank you. I'll now note that it's now 7:09 and the meeting is closed. Thank you very much for viewing tonight's meeting. Meeting support, could you please stop the live stream?